Once she stole this jerk's third wish, Nadia swore she would never invite another surgeon into her counseling office. She'd heard they could be egotistical butchers, treating their patients as little more than pounds of flesh on a table. But she'd always dismissed that stereotype. Until she'd met Dr. Fitzpatrick. Not that Nadia claimed to be a paragon of virtue herself, but at least when clients left her office, they had all the pieces they'd come in with. As far as they knew, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And how has the advice from our last session been working for you?
Nadia cracked her knuckles under the mahogany desk, jonesing for another double espresso to knock back. Anything to stop Dr. Fitzpatrick's self-absorbed monotone from making her slide off her high-backed leather armchair in a comatose state. The surgeon sprawled across the client armchair. No chaise lounges here, and seemed determined to possess it with every inch of his Tom Ford Nouveau tweed number.
You should have just told me to stick a bomb under my marriage, he huffed, pushing designer specs back up his nose. Tell her my true feelings? Everyone knows that's marriage suicide.
He waved a hand up at her framed accolades.
I'm starting to think you printed those degrees off the internet.
Did you follow the steps we talked through?
Nadia kept her tone professionally even, fighting down a smirk. Divorce was the last thing a successful marriage counselor wanted her sessions to come to. But man, did she pity the poor woman who'd ended up with this pompous middle-aged brat. Many people made the incorrect assumption that marriage counseling was done in pairs, not realizing that the early stages were most productive on an individual basis. That way, partners didn't have to worry about saying the wrong thing in front of their spouse and making matters worse while the situation was at its most fragile. However, the wife in question had yet to book her individual appointments. Maybe she already knew the marriage was over and had no intention of fighting for it. Dr. Fitzpatrick folded his arms across his chest.
Oh, I did everything you suggested. Why else would I bother to pay you?
And?
And I told her what I really thought about her artwork.
How did she respond?
The stock question rolled off Nadia's tongue effortlessly as she grazed her pen across her notebook.
How do you think?
A pinkish hue painted the surgeon's cheeks. Since it was October in Savannah, Nadia had the AC cranked up, so his flush couldn't be due to the room's temperature. The color in his face came from the palette of embarrassment.
It got heated.
In what way?
Nadia encouraged, tossing out another textbook response. She glanced over at the collection of knickknacks she'd purchased from Picker Joe's to add to the vintage feel of her Tiedemann Park office, though the moody cherrywood paneling, oxblood leather armchairs, and green hooded banker's lamps already accomplished that. Her gaze lingered on a still ticking brass carriage clock for a few seconds. She needed to move this along. Dr. Fitzpatrick cleared his throat, as if he had a frog of guilt lodged in there.
I might have said something along the lines of, are you sure you're not sniffing the paint stripper in that supposed studio of yours? Because something's making you blind to the rip-off Andy Warhols you're calling art. I can't remember verbatim. I wasn't wrong, though.
He adjusted his tie.
And you know what the truth got me? A jar of dirty brush cleaning water flung in my face. She said I knew nothing about art if I thought her work was anything like a Warhol, and she made a nasty suggestion of what I could go do with a soup can.
Why a soup can?
Nadia's eyes drifted back to the clock.
You know, Andy Warhol, the painting of the Campbell's soup can?
When Nadia shrugged, he frowned as if she were an uncultured Philistine.
Actually, never mind, he mumbled. Your art knowledge probably stops at Rorschach tests and so-called art therapy. The point is, I did what you said, and that made things worse.
Honesty can be painful at first, she said,